The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled. See? In trouble.
Water, water. Hello, Pittsfield, and all around our big blue planet. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I am your super water man, ambassador for water. You want to say that with an inflection? Super water man. We're bringing you the culture of water from here in the Berkshires to all around the world. Super excited to have a
in
guest
abundance
today.
Water.
I was a guest on his podcast. We created an episode. It'll be Andrew Lewin, and he's an oceanographer, marine biologist, and he runs a network called Speak for the Blue. Super excited he's going to be with us the second half of the show, and then we're going to actually have him again next week, second half of the same interview. It's amazing how water culture is making it around the world. Him, a scientist, and me, a cultural icon, H2O icon from Pittsfield to all around our big blue planet. We'll be having some news today about how the EPA is looking to CYA in the Berkshires as they're starting to get some pushback on the supposed plans for a PCB dump and ongoing issues of halting creativity. Specifically, we'll talk to you about that during our news segment. We got some music coming your way. Got a little comedy, a little poetry. Just love your H2O. It's all about that. It's all about the culture. We're here at Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 FM, WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, and anywhere you get your podcast from. So go check out And So It Flows. Like, share, subscribe. Share with all your water-loving friends around the world. And I'm sure water gave you something today, yesterday, and tomorrow. So remember to give it its due, which is a little bit of respect. Gotta love that life-giving stuff. And just thanks so much for tuning in. Got a really great show for you today. Let's go see what we got going on. Got a little bit. More of our
sparkling water
intro.
Lemon.
We're going to halt that because we just heard it. Going to hear it at the end. But we got the Weather Girls singing It's Raining Men. And it's a real cool hit. It's Raining Men. We'll be right back.
Ventura County line.
Thank you.
Yeah, water lovers, you are listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O, bringing you the culture of water, the voice for water, music for water, the poetry for water, the comedy for water, here from the Berkshires to all around our big blue planet. Super psyched to be with you today. Have a great interview with Andrew Lewin, who runs a network called the Speaking Up for Blue Network. He's a marine biologist and scientist and really someone who has actually put together a network of people who actually are all about conservation. He interviewed me yesterday. I interviewed him. We're going to have like two episodes for him on this show this week and next week. So super psyched about that. Have a get around the world and do some bilateral. He's from Canada. Hey, thank a trucker. He is someone from Burlington, Ontario, which isn't too far from Windsor, Ontario, which isn't too far from Toronto, Ontario. He's going to be discussing a little bit about his work and the work. He asked me some questions, so it's going to be a kind of a back and forth interview. Super psyched to bring that to you today, and there'll be a second half of that tomorrow. I mean next week. You're listening to 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield Community Radio. I am Leslie, your ambassador for water. Some people call me the Waterman or Super Waterman, and it's all about the blue, and it's about the culture of the blue, and perhaps even the spoonful of sugar solution in water that helps the medicine go down. And there's a lot of medicine going down right now. We got a little bit of an interesting time here in the Berkshires, and I'll discuss that to you right now. We got a little bit of news coming your way on that, so let's speak to that. Tonight, there's actually going to be, at the Berkshire Athenaeum, also known as the Library in Pittsfield, L-I-B-E-R-R-Y, but Athenaeum is spelled a little bit more complicatedly, A-T-H-E-N-A-E-U-M, and they are going to discuss General Electric Vernal Pool Pilot Study and Supplement Package. Interestingly enough, it's going to be an open house. Representatives from the EPA and GE to answer questions on methods for remediating PCB-contaminated vernal pools, such as excavation, restoration, and using activated carbon amendments. Interestingly enough, okay. Public comments on the supplemental information package are due by Friday, July 31st, sent via email to r1housatonic at epa.gov. I think it's a little bit of a tiny window, and I think there's going to be a lot of pushback around that because, you know, come late to the party, eat, you know, read 800,000 pages of, you know, gobbledygook, and then try and come back with that. That's just not right. It's going to be, the night is going to have a discussion about the five-year remediation project for Reach 5A, a five-mile stretch of the Housatonic River in Pittsfield, is slated to begin in 2028. Public comments, broader public comments of the overall remediation design plans remain open through August 10, 2026, and the scope includes removing PCB-contaminated sediments, soils, and floodplain materials originating from historical GE industrial operations aided and abetted by Monsanto and Bayer, the makers of PCBs. And you are also going to be discussing how they're going to get offsite transport to what's called the Upland Disposable Facility in Lee. And Lee is waging, David versus Goliath fight, but they got a dog in this fight. So by no means is anything actually in stone yet. If you're concerned about health, if you are concerned about economics, property values, if you're concerned about the future of Pittsfield and the region, I would highly recommend that you show up this evening to the Berkshire Athenaeum from 5 to 7 p.m. It's kind of like that last-minute recital that or softball game or baseball game that your son or daughter told you about at the very last minute, and you're like, I don't want to go, but you want to go. You want to make the time. You want to go. This is your life, our life, the life of the region, you know, the life of the world, really. Are we going to allow for, you know, questionable follow through? And informed public is a better public, and a well hydrated river that's clean allows for a lot. So make your way down to the library, the Athenaeum, this evening. It is the 28th of July. And if you're listening from another area and you have stuff going on around water, get involved. Zoom calls are nice, but they're a gift to the companies that want to not have to do too much to cure the issue. And another piece about this is the 13-acre upland disposal facility, which will be sitting on top of the largest, one of the largest aquifers, that means clean water, in Berkshire County, Western Mass, is ramping up, and they're considering being up and running by 2028. So if you're interested in all the impacts of all this wonderful PCB stuff, and you want to find another way, and I'll discuss that in another second here, you want to show up to the library. It's about the entire region and the entire west part of the state. Let's see what else we got. We got a little bit that's hopefully discussed tonight is at this event at the Berkshire Athenaeum is a little bit about Donna Bedard. For those who are listening on the radio now or listening later on a podcast, Donna Bedard is related to the Bedard Auto Group family. She's a pioneering microbiologist famous for discovering that naturally occurring bacteria can break down highly toxic polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs, and she spent 18 years at the R&D labs of General Electric, or Research and Development, also known as GE Labs, here in Pittsfield, and she began studying in 1980s how indigenous local microorganisms naturally separate strong chlorine bonds from biphenyl rings, making them go inert. She became an RPI professor, Rensselaer Polytech Institute. That's our regional MIT in Troy, New York. And she was able to really find a way to, you know, have the local bacteria be able to eat up and help cure the ill. And GE, in their infinite wisdom, shut down GE Labs, and she went on to RPI, and she's a storied professor. She's retired right now. Her stuff is in peer-reviewed journals. So, you know, hashtag to discuss is what about Donna? And then free the science. Hashtag free the science. It's really important because we have the science. We've had it for 41 years. We could have been doing this many years ago, more than four decades. It's important to come down to the library and ask the questions. Like, what about Donna? What about GE Labs? And didn't they find the bacteria back in the day when people were, you know, in the 1980s, going to discos and all that stuff. So come on down, make yourself aware of what's going on right around you. If you're in the world of having a family in the area, if you're in the world of being a real estate broker, in the institutional, what I would consider hospitality industry, if you're interested in a bioremediation, and you're generally interested in overall economic health, wellness for people and the planet, it's all there. It's going to be a great evening. So that's a little bit of news coming your way. We got a little bit of comedy, and gotta love comedy, because this is, what do we got? It's called the Japanese, what is it called? Japanese, something about a toilet. So it's Zoltan. He's a Hungarian stand-up comic. Really fun, really funny.
We stayed at a high-end hotel, and this hotel had a Japanese toilet in there. I don't know if you guys know about Japanese toilets. You're already clapping. You have a look of satisfaction already on your face. For the rest of you that don't know, these toilets, they do all the work for you. You don't even look back there, all right? You just worry about front-of-house business. They take care of back-of-house for you. And I didn't know that. I was in a rush. I just sat down, and while I'm sitting there, I noticed there's all these buttons on the wall, and each button has a drawing of what's going to happen back there if you happen to hit one of these buttons. And listen, I'm a human being with natural, curiosities. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. But I'm also a little tepid. I'm a little scared sometimes. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. You know? It's like, what if I love it? You know? Like, what if there's no going back? You know what I mean? What if I miss my flight home because I'm stuck in this hotel room just like, another round, Johnny. Like, you know what I mean? What if this changes my outlook on life? And then I noticed they had a second set of buttons underneath. It was numbers 1 to 10. It was how hard you wanted the water pressure back there. So I started at a 1, right? The 1. It's my first day at the gym. I'm not maxing out. I'm just hopping on the elliptical for 10 minutes, getting a little sweat on the brow. That's all I'm looking to do. So I started at a 1, and I'm like, well, hello. And about 90 seconds later, I had that thing pegged out, and I'm like, yeah. Game changer, dude. I've never had a toilet change my mood before. Like, I sat down in a bad mood. I got up in an amazing mood. Like, colors were brighter. I was more optimistic. I felt taller. God, I love that toilet. Sometimes I would sit on it when I didn't even need to go. I just treated it like an afternoon coffee, you know, like a Starbucks at 3 p.m. just to get through the rest of your day. I'd sit down, yeah. And I'd bounce off. Let's go look at some more temples, baby. Daddy's got a second wind. Amazing toilet. Amazing toilet. The aim on that thing, just spot on. I just sat down. This thing didn't even know my name. It was like, there you are, right there. It's like, whoa, who invented you? An engineer, probably. Someone who's great at math. What was that equation? A squared plus B squared equals bullseye. We got him, fellas. Send that to the Smithsonian. We're set.
Too many things, I know what I mean.
You gotta love it because it's all about the H2O. That was what I am, and she's mostly water. Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians. We had before that the Eurythmics with Annie Lennox. Had Surfing USA with the Beach Boys, one of the better and most well-known of the water tunage folks. And then we started off the show with It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls, because men are making a comeback. It's pretty exciting. Gotta love it. And men like water just as much as women do. And, you know, although it's often looked at like a women's thing, men like it too. They like it. They like going fishing. They like going whitewater rafting. They like swimming or doing cold plunges, as well as women. It's, you know, it's kind of a unisex style of substance element. Gotta love that H2O. Super psyched today. I'll be discussing with Andrew Lewin. He interviewed me last night. I interviewed him. We're doing like a dual podcast. He, Andrew is a marine ecologist, science communicator, and an oceanpreneur who founded the Speak Up for Blue podcast network based in Canada, thank a trucker. You got a little overview. His mission for Speak Up for the Blue is to increase ocean awareness, provide education about marine species and conservation issues, and inspire individuals to take practical environmental action, interestingly enough. And then he's got a couple of shows, How to Protect the Ocean, alongside other network shows like Beyond Jaws, which is about shark conservation. And the network is based in Burlington, Ontario, in Canada, where they got Keanu Reeves and we got, who knows, some other guy. They got, we got Dunkin' Donuts and they got Timmy Hortons. And he also offers daily newsletters featuring ocean news, marine research, and highlights, and ocean conservation job openings, all sorts of stuff. So you want to look him up at speakupforblue.com, Andrew Lewin, L-E-W-I-N. And without further ado, I'm going to be bringing him right into the show. Super psyched about that. Let's go get to him right now. And we're going to have the second half of this interview tomorrow, and a special thanks to Andrew and Speak Up for Blue, because he's been putting out the water culture from a science standpoint for quite some time.
This on each other's podcast so that both of our audiences can kind of get to know each other a little bit, and we can really dive deep into our relationship with water, and then so that people in the audience can really understand their relationship with water a little bit further. So Leslie, why don't you just start off by telling us who you are and what you do.
So how I propose it in the world of And So It Flows, now I call myself the super waterman ambassador for water.
Okay.
I'm taking a tack of like rock and roll, popular music, and through that music develop relationships to water and use it as a platform where you could discuss anything. You could discuss economics and philosophy and spirituality and science and medicine and pirates. You know, talking like a pirate is as much about water as cleaning up a particular river or lake. And it, and where we're in, where we are the rock and roll podcast for water that you didn't know Pittsfield had, but what the hey, we deserve it. And for those listeners of yours and viewers of yours, Pittsfield was ground zero for the OG of forever chemicals.
Okay.
I'm talking pre-PFAS, pre-P4. There was these things called PCBs, which was an oily petrochemical-related substance to put into transformers that General Electric made, sold by Monsanto, currently owned by Bayer, birds of a feather, you know, kind of really interesting, in which from that framework, build a relationship to water and bring it out to the world, and also having somewhat of free speech zone, because, you know, it's kind of like having a show about elephants.
Right.
Or hippopotami. Who would not like that? I mean, you got to be pretty, you know, dead from the heart up not to kind of engage with water on some level, because we're connected to it from our, starting from our mother's belly,
yeah,
all the way through.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So what got you into really, like, what's your relationship with water? What really started to ignite this relationship with water for you?
Well, it goes back, you know, obviously I said my mom's belly, which is true. We all spend, you know, let's say upwards of 3/4 of a year plus in that amniotic fluid. So there's some relationship there, but let's get beyond that because, you know, it gets too sciencey and then our eyes glaze over. But really it's when I was three, I was my parents' Hungarian survivors of the siege of Budapest during World War II, kids growing up, came here to the States. We had a summer house in the Catskills, and I used to, it was in a bungalow colony. And then as a three-year-old, I would push people into the water as they're getting ready to jump in. You know, it's like that little terrorist three-year-old. I was that person.
Gotcha.
Pushing in, I fell in, went down. And when I came back up, everybody said I almost drowned. So I was scared of the water for many years. Mm. Although during that time, we had another summer house right near a stream. And I remember lying down underneath a weeping willow tree and just really relaxing. But for a long time, it was up until I was 18. I was seriously pretty scared of the water when my father used to hold me by, you know, under me and try and help me learn to swim. As a nine-year-old, I would panic.
Right.
So anyway, first it was there. And then later on, I eventually learned how to swim and things like that. And I actually continued to look at water still from a dispassionate space. And then there was one time I read a book put out by Louise Hay from the Hay House. She had a whole bunch of metaphysical healing. And she had talked about healing yourself with water.
Okay.
Drinking and getting rid of toxins. And some of her work touched on that. And I did that, and it worked. Mm-hmm. I did like a 1 week water fast, and you know, the rashes went away. And it was like, wow, that's pretty powerful. I know I did.
Interesting. And,
you know, later on, I had a home inspection company. We did water testing, and then I got involved in e-commerce around water. And I said, what else is there for me to do other than sell a water filter?
Right.
Kind of boring after a while.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're helping people with their problems, but still, what else is there to do? So I said, why don't we have a rock and roll podcast for water at the local FM station in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. It's in the middle of Berkshire County.
Okay.
And later on, that lasted, now it's 20 years. So I'm an overnight success in 20 years. Here I am with Andrew. You know, thank you. But bottom line, I moved back to the area after COVID and all that lockdown stuff. And I said, why don't I move the show to Pittsfield? Because Pittsfield, you know, they smoke the product.
Right.
I'm not just talking legal cannabis. I'm actually talking about, they know, if Flint had a show on water, I would probably listen to it because maybe they know something I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I could learn from that. And I said, it's got to be something broad, bring music into it, bring culture into it, and bring good stories about it.
Right.
And then just engage people in having a relationship to water. So thanks for asking. It's a long-winded question. I mean, long-winded answer, but it's a great question, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course, no problem. Like, I think it's always good to know, like, how people's, you know, relationship with water started, right? And because I think it's a lot of times we don't think of it. I think we take it for granted a lot of the times when we start to think about just water, whether it be lake water, drinking water, water we use to wash ourselves with, you know, water when we go out on the ocean or we're in a river system. I think we think of them in different ways. You know, ocean is more like, for me, because I don't live by an ocean, it's more like vacation. It's fun. It's relaxing. It's that kind of stuff. When I worked as a marine biologist, I did a lot of field work. It was work. It was fun to be out there. You never knew what you were going to see. It's a lot of fun. But like, I think when some people think like they do vacations around oceans, but when they are around rivers in their local city or local town, they may see it as different. Sometimes they see it as dirty, or maybe they don't even pay attention to it at all. They're passing over a bridge that's passed over some kind of water crossing or culvert, and they see it and they like the nature around it. You know, usually there's some trees around it and stuff like that, but they may not really fully grasp the beauty of it and the function of it as well. And so I think it's always interesting to kind of go back to see how people relate to water, because as you know, it's all connected, right? Everything's connected to the ocean. The ocean is connected to everything, and it all flows back down to the ocean at some point, from rainwater all the way down. And I think looking back at our first time with water, or what we can remember with water, other than being in the room, of course, which we probably don't remember. But, you know, like the first time we remember being in water or touching water, things like that, is a very special time. And I think a lot of times we kind of take it for granted of that special relationship, how it could have been, as you said, you know, you almost drowned one time. So it could be a negative thing, and then you find the positive in it afterwards, or it could be a very positive thing, like in a pool, jumping in or learning to swim. That could be positive or negative for a lot of people. And I think it just depends on how everybody, you know, experienced water for the first time, but still experiencing something for the first time that is vital to our lives. And I think going back and understanding that relationship with water is really important. You know, that's how I feel about it.
A question for you.
Okay.
This thing, my goatee is not as thick as yours. Moment,
or gray. Mine's gray.
I cut it long enough that people don't notice.
Gotcha.
So my question is for you, Andrew. You have been putting out media around water for how long now?
Podcast 11 years, over 11 years, and then actual science communication, probably 16.
Wow. Science communication, like writing reports?
Yeah, writing. Well, I mean, the science itself I've been doing since 2001. Science communication is like writing blogs about science research and things like that, doing YouTube videos about the latest research or something that I find cool around the ocean from a scientific perspective, and then doing the podcast, of course. So science and conservation communication, yeah.
That's really intense because, I mean, I would say scientists who really are capable of sharing outside simply, you know, putting it in a peer-reviewed report, which is really important.
Yeah.
But there's the story that you're sharing, there's a commitment on your part to really get to know it and decipher it for others.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, you know, it's amazing. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
everybody
it.
Give Andrew an award for you know, taking on something that, you know, let's face it, I'm a self-professed water geek.
Right.
End of story. But there's goodness in geeks because you're passionate about something.
Yeah.
So Speaking Blue is a network, right? That's your
Speak
that's
Up for Blue is the network. So we have How to Protect the Ocean on there. We have Beyond Jaws. And soon to be, we've done a lot. We did, for the first 6 months, we did a live show called Polar Bears and Flip Flops with a buddy of mine, Angela Villa Gomez.
Wow.
And that'll come to audio very, very shortly once I get to processing.
Simply, that's actually a really great title.
Yeah, it's a fun title. Yeah.
It's a great title. And it you know, the fun about it is actually this stuff could be fun. And for those of you just tuning in to both of our shows, I'm Leslie, Super Waterman, Ambassador for Water. I'm with And So It Flows, Rock and Roll Show for Water. You can find it on all major podcast platforms. It's from Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Yeah, Pittsfield, which is in Berkshire County, Western Mass. And tell me where can people find your work too, Andrew? Like, where are you putting your work out?
Yeah, so mine is on mostly on audio. So I do the podcast, How to Protect the Ocean podcast, is on your favorite podcast app. So Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, you know, pretty much any podcast app that's out there. And then the Beyond Jaws podcast is the same thing, and on YouTube. And then Polar Bears and Flip Flops right now is on YouTube, but will come to audio very shortly. And then I have a YouTube channel, which I used to put the podcast on as well. Now I'm switching, and I'm planning and in the process of almost launching a live show, which is going to be called Ocean Decoded Live. So the channel is called Ocean Decoded. I'm going to do Ocean Decoded Live, where every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, go over, you know, some ocean news, some cool things that have happened out of research, react to some videos, that kind of stuff. I'm looking forward to doing that because I do love doing, in the age of AI, I do love doing live video and live streaming. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's really great. Now, you're in Toronto?
I'm just outside of Toronto, in Burlington, Ontario. So just outside, Burlington. But 45 minutes outside of Toronto. Yeah, I grew up in Toronto.
Okay, great. Yeah. How far from Guelph?
Actually, that's not far at all. It's kind of like, if you look at Toronto and Burlington and then Guelph and Burlington, it's about 45 minutes each in and around there, give or take, depending on traffic.
Really cool. And I'd love to come up to do this. I've been doing all sorts of videos on water places and water spaces.
Gotcha.
And in Ontario, you have this thing called One Point, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like off Lake Erie.
Biosphere space.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful space. And there's some really amazing things in Ontario. You've got the bridge to the United States, if you want to come at this point. I don't know. But still, it just reopened, you know, the Peace Bridge. And we should rename it Peace, except for these guys, Bridge.
well, I think it's, I think we call it the, well, I mean, the Detroit Bridge, I think we call it the Gordie Howe Bridge, which is like a famous hockey player that a Canadian hockey player, I think, played in Detroit for most of his career and played for till I think he was like 55 years old. So, and a Hall of Famer at that and a legend at the time. Exactly. So yeah, like we have some pretty cool, water spots. We have some great, like, protected areas in Ontario, across the country in terms of oceans. We have some, we have the Gully marine protected area in off the coast of Nova Scotia, which is a beautiful deep sea coral habitat. We have the hydrothermal vents like Endeavor on the west coast, like a string of, like, it started off as a smaller marine protected area and then they expanded it to one of the largest marine protected areas for hydrothermal vents and deep sea things. So it was awesome, and so that was a lot of fun to be able to see that get protected. And there's a great organization called Ocean Networks Canada that we work with on the podcast that actually monitors that area, a big portion of that area. So we get to see some pretty cool things that happen down there. Smokestacks and hydrothermal vents and crabs and shrimp and isopods and sharks and all this kind of stuff. So it's pretty amazing. Cool what we've been able to do here in Canada. And of course, like, you know, the U.S., when we compare ourselves to the U.S., like the U.S. has a lot of money, like in foundations and things like that. And in the past, it used to have a lot of government money that would go towards these discoveries and stuff. We haven't really had as much, but, you know, we've done quite a bit for what we've been able to accomplish and for what, like, the kind of our situation with foundations and things like that. So it's been pretty proud of what we've been able to do. There's still a lot to be done, obviously, but we've been pretty good with our environment.
I have a question. This comes from the space of rock and roll.
Sure.
And then I'll ask another question about another cultural figure. Nickelback.
Yeah.
You get a lot of grief. Especially here in the United States, but they are good. Let's say they
yeah,
are.
They're not bad.
Do they have a water pond? Do they have any references to water? Because I haven't been able to find one yet. Anything? It could be a river, a pond, a pier, laundry.
To be honest, I don't follow them enough to know their lyrics. I've heard them play before. I went to the University of Guelph. They actually played at the University of Guelph, but I don't follow them as closely to really dive deep into their lyrics.
Yeah. And you know, then there's stuff I so much love about Canada, the St. Lawrence Seaway.
Yeah.
The whole city of, you know, Quebec City, right on the water.
Right on the St. Lawrence.
Down in the cold weather and everything's frozen and you're frozen, but there's still the bobsled, so that's a lot of fun. And that's ice and that's water and that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But you know, like another thing, does Keanu Reeves have any water related good deeds? Does he ever do an activist deed thing? Where he says, and by the way, you got to deal with this or something.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that I don't know if he, if he's actually been able to, like, I've never seen him on. I know Ryan Reynolds has. In the past, like before he made it big, Ryan Reynolds used to be on TV with the Nature Conservancy of Canada trying to drum up funds, like donations, and it was. Before it was after Two Guys and a Girl in a Pizza Place, and then before Deadpool, so it was like in between that before he hit it big. But he's always been around. According to Google, he's not active in political activists or spokesman for environmental issues, but comments sometimes describe him as environmentalist by default because he's so low key and stuff like that. But so he's not much of a thing, but I would say Ryan Reynolds has done a lot for the environment. I mean, obviously, you know, an icon in Canada is David Suzuki, who's probably our most outspoken, not only scientist, but I would say science celebrity. I would say he for us, like from the environment perspective, he rivals like Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, different specialties, obviously, but he rides hard for our environment. And to be honest, he's gone toe to toe with some of our biggest politicians to be able to make sure that we're, you know, doing better on climate change and even like, and he doesn't take sides. He's not a conservative liberal.
What's up with the quick environmental question? Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah.
What's going on with all those oil fields thing that you used to hear how
the tar sands?
Up in tar sands. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's always like, since I've been born, it's always been a big thing. It's our biggest oil supply right now, other than offshore. It's dirty oil. It's really hard to extract and it's causing a lot of our greenhouse gas emissions. Right now, because of like before Trump got into power for the second time, you know, we had canceled pipelines. So if you go back to like Canada's history with the environment, we're a natural resource company or a country. So we rely heavily on oil and gas. We rely heavily on mining, on forestry. So we are very, like, our economy is tied to natural resources. So it's a very difficult balance to, you know, to grow the economy or even maintain the economy and still be environmentally friendly. So it's been a point of frustration for a lot of us who have seen this. Yeah. But over the last like 10 years when we had, so, and traditionally, as very similar to what you guys are doing, the conservative side of our politics has been like double down on fossil fuels and try to expand fossil fuels. And then you have our liberals, which is would be your Democrats party, who are not necessarily fully down with fossil fuels, but they realize that fossil fuels are important, but they also want to develop green energy. So yeah, when Prime Minister Harper was in power before Trudeau, it was fossil fuel or bust. And that's how our economy went. It goes, you know, when oil is up, we do really well. Our economy is doing really well. When oil went down, our economy went down.
Yeah, that's a little bit on Canada and what they're dealing with. Yeah, you gotta love the extractive nature of Canada and all their stuff. And it's been really great to have the first half of the interview with Andrew Lewin from Speak Up for Blue Network. You should go check him out at speakupforblue.com. Let's go see what it is. Speak Up for Blue Network. You could Google that. And it's speakupforblue.com and follow him there. Subscribe. We'll be back with him next week for the second half of that interview you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. What do we got here? We got a little bit of poetry. This is Robert Frost, Going for Water.
This is a reading of Robert Frost's poem, Going for Water. The well was dry beside the door, and so we went with pail and can. Across the fields behind the house, to seek the brook if still it ran, not loth to have excuse to go, because the autumn eve was fair, though chill, because the fields were ours, and by the brook our woods were there. We ran as if to meet the moon that slowly dawned behind the trees, the barren boughs without the leaves, without the birds, without the breeze. But once within the wood, we paused, like gnomes that hid us from the moon, ready to run to hiding new, with laughter when she found us soon. Each laid on other a staying hand, to listen ere we dared to look, and in the hush we joined to make. We heard, we knew we heard the brook, a note as from a single place, a slender tinkling fall that made, now drops that floated on the pool, like pearls, and now a silver blade.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. Let us in, knows where we've been, in his octopus's garden in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see an octopus's garden with me. I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. Warm below the storm in our little hideaway beneath the waves, resting our head on the seabed in an octopus's garden near a cave. His garden in the shade. about the coral that lies beneath the waves. Oh, what joy for every girl and boy, knowing they're happy and they're safe. Tell us what to do. I'd like to be under the sea, in an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you.
Abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.